Good morning, everyone. This is Carolyn Bennett Sullivan from Carolyn's Corner. Happy August. The summer is just whizzing past us. And I am so excited today. I have an incredible guest, Lorna Levy from Philadelphia. Lorna is a law of attraction coach and a religious science minister. That's correct, right, Lorna?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Wonderful. So welcome, Lorna.
Hi.
Hi. It's great to have you on the show. And how long have you been really studying and practicing law of attraction?
You know, for me, it's been sort of a lifetime interest. Mm-hmm. As a kid, I had, you know, questions about all the big stuff, about why are we here and why do people die? You know, why did my kitten die when I was 9? And, you know, is God good? And what about religion? And why doesn't everybody have the same religion? And I just had all these questions. And I used to go to the library and, excuse me, I had read all the books in the children's section. I remember this well. I was about 9 years old. And I wanted to go into the adult section, you know, adult-like books without pictures, not adult-like XX.
Right.
And they told me I had to bring a letter from my grandmother, and I did. She gave me permission, and then I got to wander around the stacks, and I found the books on human development and success principles, and I found law of attraction. And
wow.
It sort of gave me the answers to all my questions. It let me know that we create our reality, that there really is only one thread of truth under all the religions. And it sort of started me on my path. And by that time, I was like 9 or 10 years old. And since then, I've just read and studied everything I could find. Everything. I mean everything. So it's been kind of an obsession with me, but I love it. I love it.
That, to me, it is so amazing that you had this interest and this spark at such a young age. I mean, you really had such a burning desire to learn more.
I did. And, you know, it was due to some of the circumstances in my life. I grew up with my grandmother, and my grandmother had arthritis very, very badly. She was she could barely walk. And I used to, you know, question God, why did you do this to my grandmother? Because she's such a loving and wonderful person. And I think that was the start of my questioning. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I can relate to that. I grew up in a my father is a retired Presbyterian minister. So growing up in the church, I always had questions, too. And there was so much that I was taught in the church that just didn't seem to make sense to me.
Yeah.
And so as an adult, you know, there were times when I really went away from religion and spirituality altogether. Although there was this part of me that always knew, you know, that always felt this connection. And then, you know, as an adult, I've become more and more curious and have had the same interest, you know, in learning. Because to me, what I was learning in religion, in traditional religion, just there was a missing piece.
Yeah. They were my grandmother was sending me to an Episcopal church, and they weren't answering my questions. You know, they would tell me, well, you'll understand when you get older, or you'll understand if you just have enough faith, and none of that worked for me, you know.
Right.
But I think we live in wonderful times now because we have the ability to explore so many different spiritualities and different religions, and we can search and we can sample and that's what I did until I found religious science, you know.
And how did you tell me about how you found religious science?
Well, you know, that's funny. That's kind of a law of attraction story too, because I had read the Seth books. Seth was a channel, and he wrote books through Jane Roberts. Mm-hmm. There are about 10 Seth books, I think 11 maybe. And between, I guess, 1960 and 1980, Seth was writing books, and I was reading these books and always looking for someone to talk with about these mm-hmm. fascinating ideas about creating your life and how to really do it and actually, you know, taking charge of things and stuff. And for the most part, I never found anybody. My friends thought I was crazy. They just weren't interested. I didn't know anybody else that was reading these books. And I picked up one of the free magazines that you find in bookstores. It was called New Frontier, you know, the ones that are printed on newsprint and they're all new mm-hmm. agey and stuff. And there was a little classified ad in the back that said, if you like Seth, you'll like us. And I said, yes. So that was put in by a religious science study group at that time here in Philly. It wasn't here in Philly. It was about a half hour outside of Philly. And I started going, and I just never left. I said, these are my people. They understand this. They get this. They know mm-hmm. the power of thought. And yes. that was about 20 years ago, and I've been there ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that is what a great story. It's interesting because you and I met at the Religious Science Center that I attend, Awakened Heart, and I came to it in kind of a similar way. It was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, so I'm much newer to it. And a friend of mine sent out, it was an affirmation, and they were trying to get 1 million people to read and say this affirmation. And at the bottom of the email that my friend had found this affirmation that Awakened Heart had put out, it said, and check this out, this place is local.
Mm, yeah.
And I started doing the affirmation, and then I started going to Awakened Heart. And it really was a major turning point in my life. At that point, my marriage was rapidly falling apart. And we were had a lot of financial struggles. And that community and the teachings have really, you know, helped me to shift my life and transform my life. So it's very powerful.
It really
powerful
is.
Teaching.
I love religious science, yeah. Yeah, because we teach people to find the truth within themselves, and we teach them that each person can have direct contact with divinity, with the ultimate spirit, that you don't need an intermediary, that you yourself are divine, and it's just a matter of remembering that and knowing that. And I just love the empowerment of that. But let me ask you, do you remember what that affirmation was?
You know what? I don't. I was just trying to think of that. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know what that affirmation was. I don't even remember it. But let's talk about affirmations. Since I've brought that up and you've asked me, you know, you and I both use affirmations. There are a lot of people that use affirmations. And why is it sometimes that affirmations don't work for some people?
I think affirmations are kind of a slippery slope because people say, mm-hmm. people who, well, first let me do a little bit of a rant. There are a lot of people who have spent 5 minutes learning Law of Attraction. They mm-hmm. watch The Secret and they think they know everything. And then it doesn't
yeah.
work for them. So a lot of people will say, just do this affirmation and your life will completely change. You know, I'm going
right.
to win the lottery. I'm going to win the lottery. I'm going to win the lottery.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen. An affirmation has to be believable. That's number
yeah.
one. If it's something that's a really big stretch, like I'm going to win the lottery for $20 million, can you believe that? You know, can you see yourself as a person with $20 million? If a part of you knows the odds of winning the lottery, there's a large part of you that's saying, you can't do that. That's not likely. You know, so it really helps for an affirmation to be believable, and that's because it has to be accepted by your subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. It's not just your conscious mind. And when you say, when you're saying an affirmation, you're saying it with your conscious mind. But there's so much more to you. There's your subconscious and your unconscious, and they have to be on board with what you're saying also. So if you're saying, I'm going to win the lottery, you know, one part of you, your conscious and your subconscious, is saying there's no way, the odds are a gazillion to one, and you're not going to be the one. And then your unconscious is saying, you're not a rich person. You don't even know how to manage $100 if you have it. What are you going to do with $20 million? You know, so you have like two-thirds of yourself fighting against you. The way to make an affirmation work is to make it believable,
mm-hmm. Because you have to believe it. You have to believe that it's possible for you.
Exactly. And we all know something as big a stretch as winning the lottery is not possible for most people. I mean, it's not even one out of a million, right? It's one out of a gazillion or something like mm-hmm. that. So if you wanted more money, for instance, well, let me backtrack for a second. Another thing that makes an affirmation really believable is feeling it. You have mm-hmm. to have the emotion in it of having achieved that thing you want. Because just saying the words is not enough. The words don't make a difference. You have to really feel like you have it now, you know? So
yes, that was going to be my next question or comment to you was about the emotion, about, you know, being in that state of feeling that, like you said, that you have it now, that you're experiencing it now, that it's part of your experience.
When you feel it, you create the experience in your brain as if you're living it now. Mm-hmm. And your brain doesn't know whether you're living it or whether you're imagining it. But you start to create new neural pathways in your brain that make the situation familiar. And the more you feel it, the more you do a visualization or an imagination, the more you just spend time being in the imagining of the situation that you want, your brain says, oh, this is what we're living now. This is our new experience now. And your brain starts to find reasons to bring it to you. It's like magic. It's really neat the way it works. You tell your brain, this is what I want to be feeling, and your brain says, okay, here's more of that. Here's more reasons to feel that. And that's why feeling works so much better than just the words.
Mm-hmm. Lorna, can you give me an example of how you've used that in your own life?
Oh, goodness. Let me think about that. I use it all the time, and I use it so naturally that I almost don't think about it anymore.
Right.
Trying to think of something I wanted to feel. Well, I'm a minister, and this might be a bit of a long story. But I'm a minister who never, ever, ever wanted to stand in front of people and talk. In religious science, when I started ministry, which I think was 2009, you had to be a minister to be able to teach classes. And all I want to mm-hmm. do is teach classes. So I thought, well, I'll go through all these classes, I'll learn to be a minister, and then I'll be a teacher. But I won't have to stand up and talk on Sunday mornings. So, of course, part of the class is learning how to stand up and talk. And I thought, you know, I'd rather have my fingernails pulled out. I'd rather have, you know, ice picks stuck through my head, anything. I
yeah.
don't want to stand up and talk. I'm not an extrovert. I don't want to, you know. So I started to imagine myself standing there feeling confident, feeling mm-hmm. at ease, actually being able to walk around without my knees knocking, without stumbling, without stuttering, without getting confused. And, you know, I'm a fairly intelligent person. I have an MBA. But the thought of standing in front of people, I'd forget everything. I'd forget my name. I'd forget everything I wanted to say. So I imagined myself feeling confident, feeling at ease. And, you know, it's changed so extremely that I love public speaking now. And I never thought that could happen. I never thought that could happen. That's like one of my biggest manifestations.
and it's
unbelievable.
And you're a wonderful speaker.
Thank you.
You're a
wonderful
speaker.
You were there
speaker.
The day I spoke.
Yes, yes.
Thank
yes,
you.
That's how we met. So,
yeah.
You know, I never would have imagined that was part of your life at one point. And I think that example really goes to show that when we begin putting ourselves in that space of feeling that emotion of what we desire, how we, the possibilities of how things can open up and change for us.
They really do. It's almost like magic, but I hate to call it that because it's actually science, you know?
Exactly.
But things change tremendously. I mean, you can go from scared to death to totally confident and at ease. And, I mean, I will say that probably took me about 3 months, maybe doing that visualization 3 or 4 times a week, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Yeah, and now I love it. Yeah.
So my next question,
yeah,
you know, I want to talk a little bit more about law of attraction. You know, we're always attracting into our lives, whether we're conscious of it or not. How can we tap into it more deliberately? How can we begin to really, because it is a law, how can we begin to utilize the law in a way that is serving us? Is serving what our vision is for our life?
I think what most people do, and you're right, we do create everything. That's what helped me understand sort of how the world works and why we get what we get. We create absolutely everything in our lives, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And most of us don't realize how we're doing it, but we do it through our self-talk, and mostly through our fears and our worries, because those are the things that give us sort of the strongest emotions, and we're not even thinking about it. So, for instance, I'm doing this interview from out in the park right now, and I was out here last night. This is my favorite place to be, but it's Fairmount Park in the heart of Philadelphia, and I come out here, I sit in my car, but I stay out here until it's well after dark. If I said to myself, and there are always other people out here walking around, and now if I said to myself, these people look really scary, I'm afraid somebody's going to walk up and rob me, I'll probably be a victim of a crime. I remember reading news stories of people getting murdered. I mean, that was 20, 25 years ago, but I'm sure it could happen again. If I really talked myself into that kind of fear, then I might create that reality. I might create somebody, you know, maybe not murder, but somebody coming up and, you know, holding me up or stealing my purse, or I just create a very fearful situation for myself. If I join in conversation with my girlfriends about how dire things are or how bad the economy is, when we get together and commiserate with our friends about how bad things are, whether it's the economy or whether it's how much we hate our jobs or whether it's I'm so fat I can't lose weight, whatever it is, we're creating that because we're talking with feeling and we are not just convincing ourselves, but we're trying to convince the person we're talking to. So that's how we create the things we don't want. We spend too much time in conversation about the things we don't want, you know? And that's, we just bring more of it on ourselves. As a culture, as Americans, we're not trained to see the good side of things. We're not accustomed to talking about how wonderful things are. you know, if you do that, people call you a Pollyanna and they walk away. They tell you you're not realistic. So when we're trying to create good and wonderful things, we kind of have to do it all in our heads because nobody wants to join in conversation with us, you know?
Absolutely. And you know, I don't know about you, but I, years ago, stopped watching the news and reading newspapers because it's we get so bombarded with negative, 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 and I don't want my vibration being pulled down, you know, by all this negative information that, and it's not like, oh, I'm putting my head in the sand like an ostrich. I know that these events are occurring in the world, but I don't have to buy into the consciousness of, oh, everything's so horrible. Because when we really look at the world, for the most part, everything is really good. But that's not what gets focused on.
You're so right. Everything is really good, I think, you know, 90%, 99% of the
mm-hmm.
time. And the news, I mean, I stopped watching it years ago, too. I felt like I had to, I almost felt like I had to get permission to stop. I mean, I felt like it was my duty to know what was going on in the world. And a Science of Mind minister said, no, you don't have to watch it. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. And
yeah.
It feels terrible. I mean, everybody's suffering, everybody's hurt, everybody's sick, everybody's killing each other. And it never changes. And particularly when you watch the news, they have the emotion of the pictures, they have the emotion of the music to pull you in. And
mm-hmm.
I hadn't watched the news for, I don't know, years and years. I don't even have a TV anymore. And just last week I was somewhere where they had the TV on, and I was there for a couple hours. And I've been feeling bad ever since. I mean, I sort of
yeah.
feel like I've been brought down. I'm not sure of the words, but I mean, I feel guilty. I feel miserable. I feel like I need to do something to fix all these people, but I can't do anything because they're in other countries. And it's just kind of changed my vibration, you know, in a deep way, and it's given me a clear realization that this is something I don't want to do.
Exactly.
So I keep up on the news. I used to feel like people are going to think I'm stupid if I don't know what's going on in the world. And then I got to the point where I don't care if they think I'm stupid because I don't want to know what's going on in the world, and that's okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when I need news, I read about it, and that way I don't get all the emotion of it.
Exactly. I'm going to just take a break real quick here. We are on Universal Energy Radio, and this is a call-in show. So if anyone would like to call in and ask Lorna questions or myself, the number is 718-664-9124. Again, that's 718-664-9124. We'd love to chat with you. Okay, Lorna, let's talk about, you know, we're talking about vibration and energy and law of attraction. So let's talk about energy and vibration and how that impacts us and how it impacts the world and how we can impact, you know, the energy of the earth and the universe, you know, with our vibration. How does all that work?
Well, it's kind of a big question, but I think it kind of has a very simple answer. I think the answer is love. And there's an old Chinese proverb that I can't recite exactly, but the gist of it is when there's love in the home, there's love in the village. And when there's love in the village, there's love in the country. And when there's love in the country, there's love everywhere. You know, that's sort
mm-hmm.
of the short answer. So love the people you meet. Look at them as divine. They may be crazy. They may be doing things you don't like, but they're still aspects of the divine expressing through them. Look at the earth as divine and honor it and respect it and don't trash it and don't put nasty chemicals like pesticides and fertilizers and those things all over it, and kill things. Don't kill the bugs. Don't kill the bees. Don't kill living things. You know, love them. If one as an aside, one means of pesticide, talk to your animals, talk to your bugs, ask them to go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And because all is consciousness and all is energy, they will. You don't have to kill things. You can talk to mosquitoes, you can talk to flies, you can talk to ants, and you can say, this is my space here, please respect my space, and I'll respect your space if you go somewhere else. And that way, neither one of us is bothering each other. And really, it works. That might sound a little bit crazy, but when you understand that all is consciousness, and consciousness is merely energy that's aware of itself, you can talk to everything. So honor everything as if it's your brother or your sister, or as if it is God showing up in that form. That to me is the answer. And when we have love in our hearts for, when I was driving over here, there's always people that move into your lane, cut you off, people who turn mm-hmm. in front of you without a signal. Rather than getting angry, just love that person. That person's in a hurry. That person just isn't thinking about what they're doing. That's okay. It won't kill me to slow down, you know. It's all right. I can be okay with people not doing the things I want them to do. I can just love them anyway. And when mm-hmm. I do that, I think there's a ripple effect out across the world. When I'm not,
yep.
when it's not my first impulse to go out and kill somebody, I think that ripples across to Gaza and Israel, and they stop thinking that the answer there is killing each other. I really believe energy ripples out.
Well, I agree with you, and I believe, you know, it was Albert Einstein that proved that.
He did. That's the E equals MC squared. Energy equals matter. That's what he said.
Absolutely. So it does. And so what our energy, you know, I think it's really important for us to understand that. So whatever our energy is, it is having a ripple effect on everyone and everything.
It is.
You know,
it's
like the, what is the saying in it? And I don't remember where this saying came from, but it's the saying about the butterfly. A butterfly, you know, flaps its wings, you know, in Japan and causes a hurricane elsewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, we really are all connected. And so I believe that's why it's so important to keep our energy at a higher vibration and feeling good. And that's really what that higher vibration is all about, is, you know, being in a place of where we feel good, because that gets us closer to love. So
Absolutely. Let's
talk a little bit about, you know, loving others, but what can we do in terms of loving ourselves so that we stay in that state of, you know, being open to the divine within us?
Yeah, I think that's a hard one. Let me go back to something you said, though. You said it's important to feel good. And I want to say one of the major teachers of Law of Attraction is Abraham Hicks right now.
Yes.
excuse me, mostly just known as Abraham. And they teach us that it's important to feel good. But feeling good doesn't mean going out and spending your last dime on a pair of $700 shoes. Feeling good is about feeling good on the inside. And a good way to do that is just to find things to appreciate, just mm-hmm. to look at your world with loving eyes and find wonderful things in it, things that you can really love and just be glad that they're there. But there's a downside to that. And some people think feeling good or keeping their vibration up is all about being positive all the time. And I have to tell you, you can't be positive all the time. It's not normal. It's not human. We get down. We get grumpy. We get angry.
Mm-hmm.
But what we want to do is be honest about how we're feeling. Let that energy go, because you can't stifle energy. You know, when you're, if you're positive all the time, you know, like say, for instance, somebody cut me off as I was driving over here and I got really angry. And if I just stifle that, then I stay angry. I don't let it go.
Yeah.
I don't let it flow or move. But if I say, you know, that jerk, he cut me off. He made me so angry. I had to jam on the brakes. Then, you know, I've sort of emoted. I've sort of let it go. And then I can go on and say, you know, but I really got here safely. I mean, there wasn't any accident. He went on his way. I went on my way. And as I continue to talk, then I'm raising my vibration by moving the energy. So anytime you're feeling less than positive, you got to express it. And that's really important.
Yeah,
that's really important.
I agree. I agree, because if we're not expressing it, like you said, we're holding on to it, and then that gets stuck in our bodies.
It does.
And, you know, can manifest as all kinds of things.
Well, it does, because we're creating from that vibration. We don't realize
yeah.
we have it, but it's still there. I mean, not paying attention to it doesn't mean it's not there anymore. It's still there. So you got to get it out. You got to raise it. So if that was my experience, you know, somebody cut me off, and then I say, well, but I got here safely. And I can say, you know, well, I understand. I mean, everybody's just not conscious. We're not paying attention all the time. It's okay. And so now I've moved into forgiveness for that driver.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
my whole vibration is back to love.
Right.
So you asked me about self-care. It's almost the same thing. We have to turn our love back to ourselves. And again, I think our culture teaches us to look at what's wrong, look at all the places we're not good enough. Our culture teaches us to never expect the best, but always expect the worst, and that way we won't be disappointed when things don't happen. You know, I remember my grandmother telling me that. You know, you don't want to have false hope, which is a stupid concept, because hope always feels good. There's nothing false about hope. But that's what our culture teaches us. So, and we're also taught not to be conceited, not to be arrogant. So we don't look at ourselves and see the beauty. We look at ourselves and see the flaws. I mean, TV.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that are teaching us to just not be good enough. So when you turn off the TV and you stop listening to the news, you also stop listening to the ads that are telling you you'll only be good enough if you buy this product. And what you have to do is look at your beauty, look at your eyes, look at your hair, just look at your skin, look at how well everything functions, look at how your digestion functions, your breathing functions. You're perfect. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. You don't look like another living soul on the planet. You are beautiful in your own unique way. And everything in you is working perfectly. Even the parts of you that aren't working the way you think they should be are working perfectly according to your consciousness. So love that. Appreciate that. You are a unique emanation of the divine. You are the way God has chosen to show up and express through you. How can you not love that? How can you not love your own wonderfulness, your own individuality? And I think it really is a discipline to learn to love ourselves, because
mm-hmm.
so many things in the culture are willing to tear us down. Oh, you're too fat, you're too short, you're too old, you're too whatever, you're too slow, you're too fast, you're too something. You're never, the message is never you're okay. But you are okay. You're you. You're beautiful. This is who you are. So just love it. And you can love it while you're not liking something. like, I love myself, but I'd like to be a little bit smaller. So I can say that. I love myself, and I choose to love myself at a smaller weight. I choose to release some of this excess weight, and I choose to feel that I look even better than I look already. But I know I'm okay. I'm okay the way I am. I'm just choosing a different experience in my body. So, you see, that's a way to choose to make choices without beating myself up. I'm not saying, oh, I'm so awful, oh, I'm so fat, oh, nobody's going to look at me because I'm fat. I'm beautiful. I'm chubby and beautiful, and you can have both of those in the same sentence, you know? Or, you know, maybe I'm not as smart as other people, but I'm still beautiful. I'm still okay, and my opinion matters. Whatever it is that you say to yourself where you think you're not good enough, add the phrase, and I'm okay, and mm-hmm. I'm beautiful that way. You know, mm-hmm. you're God. You're still part of God. So that's my answer. It's a long answer.
Yeah.
I tend to get excited about this.
Yeah, I love it because it's about loving ourselves, and it's also about accepting where we are right now. And I think when we can come from that place of love and acceptance, it opens us up to allow those things that we desire to flow into our life. And let's talk a little bit about allowing, being in a state of why, being in a space or an emotion of allowing, why that is really important when it comes to attracting what we want in our lives.
Well, allowing is another really big concept, and I think it's one of those concepts that can take can take years to really get.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're allowing, we are, I mean, there's so many examples I can give. First of all, I'm allowing myself to be chubby and allowing that to be okay. I'm allowing other people to look the way they want to look. They may be 100 pounds and be a supermodel, and I'm letting that be okay. I'm not saying she's so lucky or she's so much better than me. I'm saying she's who she is and I'm who I am, and we're both attracting according to our consciousness. So by doing that, I'm allowing myself to be okay in the presence of people who are different. I'm not judging or condemning. I'm not envying. I'm not being jealous. I'm not beating myself up. I'm allowing the world to unfold the way it is, which is another way of loving the world. I'm not trying to change it. I'm not trying to fix it. I am, in the Buddhist sense, I'm sort of just being mindful. I'm mm-hmm. observing. This is the way it is. It's okay. And from okay, I can usually go into it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's all in divine order. It's fine the way it is. It's not up to me to change it. Because when I start to change things, then I'm into ego. And ego
right.
is shutting God out. It's not being fully aware of the presence of the divine and letting the divine unfold. So that's kind of my understanding of what allowing is. It's letting everything and everybody create according to their own consciousness and respecting that. Everybody's not the same. And I think too often we think everybody should be the same. You should be doing this the way I do it. The way I'm
right.
doing it is the right way. The way you're doing it is the wrong way. You know, we all know that's BS. Everybody has their own expression. That's part of the beauty of the divine showing up in all these different aspects.
Absolutely. And you know, what has come to my mind, too, the next question is, Lorna, you do have an MBA from Wharton School of Business, and you are a member of Mensa, so we know that you're highly intelligent.
I try to hide that.
Yeah, and how does all of this work? You know, we're talking about, you know, having the being in the right emotion, you know, allowing, loving ourselves. But let's talk about, for lack of a better term, reality. So in our day-to-day experience, if we're, let's say, we're trying to move forward in our career or shifting to a new career, you know, what are some of the things that we can do almost, I don't know if a practical standpoint is the verbiage that I want, but, you know, what are some of the things that we consistently can put into practice in our lives to be in that state of allowing so that we can listen to that divine guidance that says, okay, here's your next step. You know, here's your next step. And it opens us up to be in the flow instead of saying, oh, well, I mean, I know for me in my business, there are a lot of things that I am working on right now, projects, and I get into a state sometimes where it's like, oh, gosh, I have to do this. And then I realize that I feel like I'm trying to force things opposed to stepping back and just, you know, allowing. Yeah. Uh-huh. So can you talk a little bit about that? Like what are some of the practices that people can really, you know, put into their lives so that this becomes like a flow, an ebb and flow in their lives instead of them feeling like they're constantly, you know, pushing and controlling, because it, like you said, that's where the ego comes in, or edging God out of, you know, and we're edging God out with the ego in there, and then we're trying to force things to, you know, a particular outcome.
Right, we're trying to do things our way.
In
religious science, we call that outlining. But, yeah, it's also leaving the divine out when we do that. So, yeah, I can answer your question in one word. But let me give a little preface first. The thing about law of attraction is it's simple but not easy. So my one-word answer is appreciation. Start to... you gave the example, if you want to change your job, you don't like your job, you hate where you are, maybe you hate your boss, you feel like you're not being used according to your capabilities, they're not paying you enough. Appreciation is the way to shift that. So you don't have to appreciate the things that you really hate. You might really hate your boss, but find something in that situation to appreciate, because the appreciation begins to raise and shift your vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you've heard the expression, you have to be it before you can see it. You have to feel it before you can move into the new experience. So if you're in that situation, you want to find something to appreciate. You might appreciate the green plant that's on your desk that somebody else waters. It just stays green under the fluorescent lights no matter what happens. You know, you want to find the smallest things to appreciate. The last office I worked in, they never had paper clips, so I started to really appreciate the paper clips. I mean, I'm talking appreciate little things. And it doesn't matter how big or how small the things are that you're appreciating, you are shifting your vibration. So as you walk into the office you hate and the job that you don't like with the people you can't stand, and you appreciate, you know, it's Monday morning, that plant is still green, it looks like somebody watered it over the weekend, there's a little bit of life in this office, I really love and appreciate that plant. I appreciate, as I sit down to my desk, the fluorescent lights are bright, I can see everything I need to do, I have pens, I have paper clips, I can do my work. You start to appreciate, you lift your vibration. As you lift your vibration, the universe will give you another job that you appreciate more. But, and I mean that, it will give you something else that you appreciate more. But if you are in the space of, I hate my job, I hate being here, I hate my desk, I hate the people I work with, I hate my boss, you're never going to get out of that space of, I hate everything I'm doing. Because
right.
That's what you're creating, you see? So
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so the
it's like a boomerang.
It really is. You put it out, it comes back, and a lot of times you don't even know you're putting it out. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's like Monday morning when the alarm goes off. It's the first thing you think, oh, my God, I don't want to go to work. You know, and you don't even realize it sometimes. So you just want to appreciate however small, however insignificant the thing is that you're appreciating, the energy is the same. The energy is big. So just find something in whatever situation.
Mm-hmm.
I run a, I lead a Law of Attraction meetup group that we've been meeting for 7 years now, twice a month. And a new person came, and we were talking, and she said she was having trouble in her marriage. There was a lot of anger that they seemed to be going in different paths, and they just couldn't seem to come together, and they couldn't seem to, it was just a lot of dissension. And I said, what you need to do is appreciate your husband. You might not want to say it out loud because there's too much anger, there's too much strife there, but appreciate the things about him that you love. Appreciate the things about him that you remember about why you married him, because you might not be seeing those things, those qualities in him now, but remember them and appreciate them. And just find whatever little thing in him that you can appreciate or in the relationship. And she came back the next week and said everything had shifted. Everything was
wow.
And that they were talking and they had found new common ground. And the issue with them was they seemed to be going in different spiritual paths. She had found Law of Attraction, and he had found, I think she said, a Pentecostal church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were both thinking the other was wrong. But she said, just from appreciating in her own mind, in her own head, when she was not with him, because when she was with him, there was anger. But just doing it in her mind had shifted the entire relationship. So it works on everything. It's the best way, and it's the simplest way.
Absolutely. And that just goes to show how powerful our thoughts are.
They really are, and people feel them. We don't have to tell people. We can love people without telling them because, you know, you don't want to look sappy and you don't want to look silly and you don't want people laughing, but you just feel it, and people feel that you feel it. Really, it works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really does. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, like back to the situation of hating where you work, because I know that's such a common situation.
Mm-hmm.
You may hate your boss or think your boss never, you know, doesn't appreciate you or doesn't respect you or doesn't talk to you the way you want to be talked to. If you can find something to appreciate in your boss, the energy will shift. You know, you may say, well, I know she's overworked. I know, you know, she's having difficulty with her teenage kids, and I know she's doing the best she can. I know she's really stressed, and whatever it is, you find something to appreciate. Or you may say, you know, she always wears really nice clothes. I like the way she dresses. She really takes good care of herself. Whatever it is, however little, whether it's relevant to the job or not, if you can find something small to appreciate in your boss, it shifts the energy between you. And again, like I said, you don't have to tell her. You don't have to say it out loud. You just think it to yourself a few times, and you'll find things, you'll find the energy changes. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's a simple practice. It's hard to remember sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but it's a simple practice. Yeah.
I know when I'm working with clients, or if I've taken a certified facilitator for the passion test. So if I've taken someone through the passion test and they've identified something that they're really passionate about and yet they feel stuck where they currently are, one of the things that I suggest that they do is begin a gratitude journal. And that really and it's that same principle, and it really helps people to begin to shift because they begin to start focusing on what's good in their life instead of what they don't want. They begin to start focusing on the good in their life, and then that begins to attract more of that.
It really does.
Into their lives. And I know it is a practice. I have to practice that too, because like you said, we're human and sometimes we have those bad days or we feel angry or we get frustrated or disappointed. And then I catch myself and I go, wait a second, what path am I going down here?
Exactly.
Is the teacher following, am I following? Am I walking my talk, mm-hmm. And sometimes I catch myself and I'm like, I'm not walking my talk. I kind of shift.
And I want to say something about that, because I've been doing Law of Attraction, trying to do it because it is a practice, since I was a kid. And there are times recently that I have found myself in a negative spin, and sometimes it goes on for weeks before I catch myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not always mindful. I'm not always creating from consciousness 100%. Believe me, I'm human. And, I can get angry. I can get in a funk, and I just go on and on and on for days or weeks before awareness kicks in, and I go, wait a minute, this isn't what I want.
Yeah.
I got to think about what I want. So I want to put that out there, because I want to encourage people. You don't do this for 10 minutes and you've got it,
Exactly.
It takes a while, and it takes mindfulness. And like the Eastern teachings, mindfulness is a lifetime learning. I mean, because we lose it so quickly. It's almost like standing on an egg. We wobble, we fall off. We have to bring ourselves back. And the practice is in bringing yourself back when you become mm-hmm. aware. And that's all you have to do, is just keep coming back to choosing what you want, choosing appreciation, feeling love, feeling joy. I mean, that's what does it,
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And like you just said, the practice. And that's what it is. It's a lifelong practice. It's not one and done. Earlier you talked about people that, maybe watch The Secret and they think, well, okay, now all I have to do, this is all I have to do, and then I'm going to manifest everything that I desire. And it's that's not how it works. It's not how it works.
It's not. And what's really important is when you're trying to manifest something that's really not coming, you have to look at what do you really believe about that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And believing usually comes down to worthiness. And
that
can take, some deep work to really change. So, so when something's not coming, it's not because God doesn't want you to have it. It's not because it's not meant to be. It's because you don't really believe you can have it.
Right. And I believe, really, we talked earlier about our society being very fear-based. And it really, in our society with the media and the marketing and everything, it really, all of that gets to that core of people not feeling worthy.
It really does.
And I know that, I have struggled for a lot of my life, until recently, with feelings of not being worthy and low self-esteem. And, thankfully, through my own spiritual work and religious science, that has shifted in me. But, so often people really go to the fear instead of the love, because there's this core belief somewhere in there, and it may be in their subconscious or unconscious mind, that they're not worthy.
Mm-hmm. That is so true, and I want to say two things about that. If you really have low self-esteem and low confidence, turn off your TV, because it's the advertisements that keep telling you you're not good enough until you buy this product. So just turn it off, shut off those voices, and you can start to sort of make your own choices, and you can look around and see people that look like you and people who are having the same experience as you and people that you admire and respect that look like you, and you shut off that voice that says nothing about you is good enough, you know?
Yeah.
And the second thing I want to say is if you really have low confidence and low self-esteem, find a Science of Mind church. They're called Centers for Spiritual Living now. There's a directory online. You can find the Science of Mind Church almost anywhere. And we will tell you that you are God. You absolutely are a unique and individual expression of God, chosen to manifest as you with your particular hair, your particular eyes, your particular weight, your body, and to have experiences through the body that you're in. This is what God has chosen, and because of that, you are worthy, you are good, you are divine. So those are two things to help low self-esteem and low confidence. Yeah, do you agree, Carolyn?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's made such a difference in my life, I can tell you that. And, you know, it's something that I think is really a huge part of our culture and why our culture, you know, is so materially based. You know, it's so outward looking, you know.
Yeah.
It's I'll be happy when.
It's always bad,
you know,
yeah.
The happiness has to come from within us.
Absolutely.
And when we connect with the divine and really begin to get that we are divine and worthy, you know, most of the time, I feel very happy. And are my circumstances in my life exactly what I want them to be? They're not. And yet, I'm so much happier now than I was 2 years ago. And there are some things outwardly that look like that they have not changed.
Uh-huh.
And yet my sense of peace and happiness and joy is there almost all the time.
Right.
And I can say, you know what, that my circumstances are okay, and I understand that everything in life is temporary, and I am moving towards that which I desire.
Exactly.
And I see it beginning to flow into my life.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it is about that, allowing, and the key, as you said earlier, having that appreciation, because that appreciation opens you up to a wow, and then it begins to flow, and then you have appreciation, and it's like it's this dance.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's kind of circular. It is. It's fun.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So I just want to mention, because I cannot believe we only have a couple minutes left. I think we could talk all day.
We could. The time has gone very quickly.
It really has. I do want to mention, let's talk a little bit about what you have going on. You've got the meetup group. It meets in Philly.
Yeah. If anyone is listening to this in Philadelphia, you can join our meetup group. It's open to everybody. It's on the website, meetup.com, so that's M-E-E-T-U-P, meetup.com, look for the Philadelphia Law of Attraction group, and you can see the next time we're meeting. We meet on the first and third Thursdays of each month, and we meet at Starbucks in Bala Cynwyd. It's like one block over the city line. So it's almost silly, but it's easy to get to, and there's parking. And first and third Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. for 2 hours. So anybody's welcome. Everybody can come. You don't have to know anything about Law of Attraction to join us. And we're in our seventh year right now, so it's
awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And people have made major shifts. One guy came in last week. He said he just got his paycheck from a job that he created. He manifested. and it was more money than he'd ever made in his life. He couldn't stop grinning. He was so funny, but it was really cute. So we have stories like that all the time. It's wonderful.
That is wonderful. And what else do you have any upcoming projects? Anything you want to share?
Well, I do. I have 3 books on Kindle about law of attraction. I have one is called Law of Attraction Results. It's basic principles on law of attraction. And that one actually grew out of the meetup group because I found that I was doing sort of the same introduction every time new people came. And then I wrote it all on a sheet of paper and I would hand it out, but I still had to explain it. And then I felt like I just need to sort of put it in a book so that everybody is starting from the same point, understanding how it works, understanding about energy and consciousness, understanding that we're always attracting all the time, because some people think we're only attracting after we start doing affirmations, for instance, but to understand that we attract everything in our lives. So it's called Law of Attraction Results, Basic Principles for Law of Attraction. But my favorite book on Kindle is called So Where's My Stuff? Because that's what everybody always says to me. I've been doing affirmations. Where's my stuff? I've been visualizing, and I don't have my stuff. So I put that title out, Where's My Stuff? And in that book, I talk about how to ask for your stuff. I tell you the words don't matter. I talk about who you're asking. I talk about when to ask and when not to ask. I talk about, is it okay to have stuff? Somebody has said to me, law of attraction is not spiritual because it asks for too many material things. So we work through that, and I make the point everything is spiritual. And if you want a pair of $700 shoes, that's spiritual too, and you should have them. So Where's My Stuff is kind of a fun book that kind of goes deeply into the principles of how to actually use law of attraction.
Uh-huh.
And my third book is just Law of Attraction Success Stories, because a lot of people say, you know, I'm doing this by myself. It's not working. I don't know anybody else that's doing it. Does it really work? So I have 21 success stories, and that one's called, what is it called? I don't know. The subtitle is 21 Law of Attraction Success Stories. So they're all on Kindle. You can search by my name, Lorna Levy, and each one is $4.99, so they're really inexpensive. So hope you take a look, and now you can borrow them without even buying them. Kindle has set up a thing where you can borrow them and read them.
Oh, so, wow. I wasn't aware of that. That's incredible. I love that you've written these books, and I just want to make sure that everyone has your website, which is lawofattractiongps.com, to find out more about Lorna or contact her directly. Lorna, I cannot believe we have gone a few minutes over an hour. It has gone
oh my
so
gosh,
quickly.
Have we? Wow.
Yes, we have. And it has been such a pleasure talking with you today. You have shared so much, you know, wonderful information, and I think it's, you know, helping our listeners. I know that it's my vibration has lifted since we've gotten on the phone today, and I just want to thank you so
much for
being on Carolyn's Corner today. We are on Universal Energy Radio, and thank you again, Lorna, and I think, you know, we could continue to have more conversations. We'll have to talk about having you back on the show
again, I would love to talk about some
other topic.
I would love to come back. This has been wonderful fun. I'm sitting out here watching the ducks swim by, and there's Canada geese, and they're walking around honking and eating the grass. And it's been wonderful for me just to get a chance to talk about what I love the most. This is so much fun. So anytime you want me to come back, I'm happy to. Happy to answer emails. Anybody can reach me through my website. It's Law of Attraction GPS, and that's GPS like in your car, because I get you there. That's why I chose mm-hmm. that website. I will get you to your desires. So please get in touch. Happy to talk with anybody. And it's been my pleasure. I'm so honored to have been invited today. Thank you, Carolyn.
Oh, you are welcome. And this is Carolyn Bennett Sullivan on Carolyn's Corner. And you can find me at my new website, which is CarolynBennettSullivan.com. You can also find me on Facebook under Carolyn Bennett Sullivan or under My Ideal Purpose. And again, this is Universal Energy Radio. Until next month, everybody, have fun, live life, and love yourself. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.